Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I'm sure many people in our listening audience are familiar with what's been taking place regarding Planned Parenthood. I was reading an article that appeared in WND.com. The article was entitled "Women Betrayed: 65 U.S. Cities Protest Planned Parenthood." The article goes on to say this: an estimated 12,000 Americans in as many as 65 U.S. cities took to the streets Tuesday to demand an end to federal funding of Planned Parenthood amid mounting evidence that the abortion group dismembered unborn babies and sold the babies' internal organs and parts, including heads, hearts, livers, kidneys, and limbs, to organizations and researchers across the country. The Women Betrayed rallies, coordinated by Students for Life of America and Pro-Life Future, followed release of three undercover videos showing Planned Parenthood executives negotiating details to collect and to deliver the body parts, or the baby parts. The investigation was carried out by the Center for Media Progress, and in one video, the Planned Parenthood executive haggles over the prices and jokes about, "I want a Lamborghini." So people are have viewed these videos that have come out, you know, and there's more to come. I think that there's another handful at least of these videos that will be released. And in one way, I think I would say that why has it taken so long with these, now that the videos are out, as to what was taking place? We've known for a long time what was taking place there in Planned Parenthood. Children are being slaughtered at the rate of millions, millions upon millions. Now over 55 million children have been killed. But the videos have apparently raised this up to another level, where people are now seeing what pro-lifers have been saying for a long period of time, that the crassness, the corrupt nature of Planned Parenthood, just the depravity that is being manifested, the lack of the sanctity of human life. I mean, I'm running out of adjectives to be able to use in order to describe just how sick this type of behavior is. And yet we're forced as American citizens to pay for this in our taxes because of what our government has done in, first of all, legalizing abortion, and then in the funding repeatedly to the tune of millions of dollars funding Planned Parenthood. I had the president, he was then the senator, Senator Barack Obama, on the radio program, and I asked him, the first question that I asked him dealt with the subject of abortion. And his response as a politician was that abortion should be rare and should be legal, you know, and should be safe and so forth, these types of responses. I was questioning him, you know, how could he say that he was not pro-abortion when he has received a 100% voting record approval from Planned Parenthood? And from not only from Planned Parenthood, but also from NARAL as well. So his response to that was, well, nobody is pro-abortion. People want to see these things to be rare and safe and so forth. I didn't think about it during the interview with Barack Obama, but I thought about it afterwards. If this is not a child, then why does it need to be rare? If it is a child, then why should there ever be one abortion? See, it's inconsistent in the way that they are thinking about this. If it's not a child, then why does it matter whether you have one abortion or 1,000 abortions? If it's just something that is similar to a gallbladder or something along that line, Why then does it matter whether there is one or multiple abortions that take place? I tweeted that or put it out on Facebook the other day. You know, the Planned Parenthood came out defending, again, you know, their spokesperson came out defending what they were doing. And I said, now that's a good question. Why does Planned Parenthood want fetal organs if they are not babies? If these are not actual human beings, as we've been told by the proponents of abortion for many years, that these are just, you know, this is just tissue. It's no different than removing an appendix or something. They're not actual human beings. Then why now are they interested in buying these bodies and parts from these human beings in order to sell them for research? See, that it's completely inconsistent in the way that they think about these issues. Now, something has happened just the last day or so that has again highlighted the inconsistency in those that are pro-abortion. What has happened is, you know, a number of these celebrities have jumped on the bandwagon here. First of all, I don't know why we listen to celebrities as moral compasses as to what's taking place in society. They act for a living. This is their credential, right? That they bring to the table. They have appeared in a well-known movie. And I say, so what? Why does that give you any sort of credential to then speak about issues in our society? You pretend to be another person on screen. Okay, why does that feed into the narrative that you somehow now are an expert or someone we should listen to on the great moral issues that we face in our society? But anyways, be it as it is, people listen to what these celebrities have to say. There's one this morning. His name is Lucas Neff. Now, I don't watch a whole lot of movies, but apparently he's a well-known actor. And what he was commenting on was two things. And I don't know if he realized what he did in these two things, but he really showed the inconsistency of the pro-abortion argument, especially when they then tried to speak morally about the killing of animals. You know, we just had the killing of that lion, the hunter, I think he was a dentist, right? Went out and as part of trophy hunting, he went out and killed a apparently well-known lion. And because this lion was so endeared by many people who had watched the life of this lion, the liberal media is in a frenzy that now, because he took the head of this lion in a trophy hunt, they want his head on a silver platter now. So now the hunter is now the hunted. There's actually people that have made death threats against him for what he has done. But my part of this, or what I found to be interesting or telling, was the reaction from those who were pro-abortion, who now are don't feel that it is right that this man has taken the life of an animal. Here's the Lucas Neff. He gave out two tweets yesterday, and the two tweets were given out 8 minutes apart. So the difference in his the way he speaks about human life versus animal life is seen in 8 minutes difference in his tweets. Here's what he said. The first tweet that he sent out yesterday, this was at 11:20 a.m. yesterday afternoon, right in the middle of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Apparently he wasn't listening to what we were saying and was busy tweeting. We'll forgive him for that. But he said this, proudly, for abortion and a woman's right to live whatever life she wants to live. Now, notice the words that are being used here. He uses live and life and live again. So in the 40 characters that you can use there on Twitter, he mentions life and live three times in just those 40 characters, but says that he is proudly for abortion. Okay, that's his first tweet. 8 minutes later, he says this: trophy hunting is a cruel sport of privileged cowards, and it serves no purpose other than murder. And so he uses the word murder in that tweet. Interesting, the terminology that is chosen here. First of all, let me address the first tweet that he sends out, where he talks about abortion and then a woman's right to live whatever life she wants to live in that sentence. Well, here's what I would say about his view of women and his view of abortion. I would say this: Lucas, what about the woman in the womb? You know, you're talking about that you're really for the rights of women. Well, what about the right of the woman in the womb? You know, you are limiting women's rights. The first right that a woman has, or any human being has, is the right to life, right? This is where rights begin. If you don't have life, you can forget about any of the other rights that you have. They're insignificant. There's no purpose in them if you don't have the right to life. So the first right that a woman has is the right to life. And Lucas, you are one who is advocating that a person can take that woman's life. I'm for the rights of women as well, but I'm for the rights of all women, including the woman in the womb. And so I would ask you, what about the woman in the womb? Secondly, will you talk about the idea that hunting is a cruel sport? We could have trophy hunting is a cruel sport. We could have some sort of a discussion there. I would say I like to hunt. I'll be hunting this season. I use, though, what I hunt for food. And so I think that God has given us dominion over the animals, and that the taking of animal life is not the same thing as the taking of human life. And animals have been provided for us give us food to eat and sustenance to maintain human life and so forth. And I think using animal life that way is a way that is completely consistent with the scripture. Rise, kill, and eat, right, is what was told to Peter, that we don't need to be vegetarians. I have been a vegetarian, been for many years I was a vegetarian. I wasn't because I didn't agree that we couldn't take animal life. I was for more health reasons and because of the processing of the meat that is taking place in our society today, the hormones that they give to the animals and so forth, for that reason. And if you try to buy that meat without the hormones in it and, you know, or grass-fed products, it's exorbitantly more expensive. And so I wasn't willing to pay the price. And so I was a vegetarian for a number of years. Now I do eat meat, but I eat meat. I try to buy the meat, like grass-fed and so forth. And the ones that I'll be killing, Lord willing, this upcoming hunting season, there'll be ones that have been out there eating in my fields and, you know, grazing and so forth. So they won't have the hormones and so forth associated with them. So I don't have a problem with it, but notice the word that he uses here. He says it serves no other purpose other than murder. He uses a word that is specifically a word that speaks about the unlawful taking of human life, not a word that is associated with the taking of animal life. Now, he uses it apparently that way because he is exalted, and I'm just reading into his own terminology, but he has exalted animal life to the same status as human life, or maybe beyond. Some of the animal rights activists consider human life to be on a lesser value than now animal life. And so remember the interview that I did, and the title of the book was A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy. where there was no distinction made between human life and animal life among the radical environmentalists. They were saying, you know, this, yeah, what's the difference? A rat or a pig or a dog or a boy? There is no distinction in those life. They're equally valuable. Well, that's not true from a biblical standpoint. Let's look for a moment at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. When we see there, it says, thou shalt not kill. I think it's very important that we look at what the commandment is actually forbidden, or what is forbidden in the sixth commandment. You know, there's some attempt there to say that it is forbidding the taking of all life, animal life, plant life, and these types of things. And people, hyper-environmentalist policies, and, you know, are people that are against hunting practices or deforestation and these types of things, they try to force these texts like this into service in order to buoy their argument against industrialization or against, you know, environmental policies and these types of things. But they're using the sixth commandment in a way that it is never intended to be used. The sixth commandment deserves, you know, very careful and respectful attention as to what it is really speaking about here. It doesn't mean that we have a license then to completely disregard the environment. I'm not saying that. We have a responsibility to be good stewards of what God has given to us. So I wouldn't use it that way, but I would say that the Hebrew word that is used here in the sixth commandment, where it says, thou shalt not kill, the Hebrew word for kill in that text is never used in the scripture for the killing of animals or of plants. It always has reference to human life, and it is always used exclusively to speak about the unlawful taking of human life. That was the way that it was used by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. You know, oftentimes some of the liberals, when they hear these things about the scriptures, they say, well, that was the Old Testament, as if the Old Testament isn't as inspired as the New Testament scripture. So in saying that, they're showing their ignorance as to what we believe about the Word of God. All 66 books are inspired by God, not just the red letters that we find in the New Testament scripture. The words of Christ are not more inspired than the rest of the book. It is all inspired by God, by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. But nevertheless, now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he quoted from the sixth commandment, he gave a word there that was very interesting and shed more light upon how we should interpret it. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 18, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. And so, in other words, he was telling, used the word murder there, which has the idea of the unlawful taking of human life. Now, the sixth commandment then forbids us to disregard human life, and it condemns every murderous act or intention against it. This is what this actor missed out on in his own tweet. When he used the word murder, he apparently didn't realize that he was using a word that is associated with homicide. The unlawful taking of human life. And certainly, abortion is homicide. It is the unlawful taking of human life. The 20th century, by the way, there was more state-sponsored murder during the 20th century than in any other century up until that point. When we looked at what was done by communist governments, such as the Soviet Union or China, ethnic cleansing that took place in other areas of the world, like in Africa and South America, Europe, Asia, all these different places. And then what we think about what was done by our own country in the 20th century and the passing of abortion laws, we can see that it was the century of genocide that took place. That's what it was actually titled, by some magazine, the century of genocide, because of what was taking place. So homicide, infanticide, which is actually what abortion is, this ungodly practice, they all reached unprecedented proportions during the 20th century and now into the 21st century as well. Over 55 million unborn infants have been put to death by the likes of Planned Parenthood and others. This is a clear violation of the sixth commandment that says, "Thou shalt not kill." And now added to that, we have now euthanasia is on the rise, or so-called mercy killing. That's also condemned in this command. Suicide is now on the rise. That is condemned in this command. That's nothing more or less than self-murder. All of this taking of life of ourselves or of others is what is directly or indirectly condemned in the sixth commandment. Well, what is, when we talk about the taking of life, what is acceptable according to the sixth commandment? Well, I would say that self-defense is acceptable. We see that. We can make the case for that found in the scriptures, that we can defend ourselves and we can defend others. I would say that capital punishment is also can be defended from the word of God. And Genesis 9 says, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for man is made in the image of God." And that's what separates us from the animal life and the plant life, is that man intrinsically has the stamp of the image of God upon him. And so taking human life is different from taking animal life or plant life. Just wars can certainly be a case for them, can be made from the word of God as well. Well, what is required then in the sixth commandment? Well, it involves the protection and the preservation of our own life and the protection and preservation of the lives of others. That's what we see here. And this is not only, we could say it's not only in a physical application to it, but there's a spiritual one as well. And I think that we should take that very, very seriously as we think about the life that is there. So the idea, Jesus said that if you hate someone without a cause, that you have committed murder, or you know, that you've broken the commandment about committing murder. In other words, maybe some people, their hatred is so hot against an individual that they would be saying that if they could get away with it without any repercussions, they so hate these people in their heart that they would go ahead and take their life with their hands if they could get away with it. According to Christ, hatred in the head is murder in the heart. And so we should certainly apply that to ourselves as we think about what's taking place here. You know, the Bible tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, as the fulfillment of the second commandment. And I think when we think about these things, we should think about the importance of the need of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Which of us is not guilty of doing something like that? I know we can look at what Planned Parenthood is doing, and we can rightfully condemn them for what is taking place. We can speak about abortion and fully condemn it justly from the Word of God as to what is taking place. But I think we also then need to think about our own selves and about the hatred in our own heart, and also think about how we are so in desperate need of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Because in the spiritual application of that text, we see that it applies to every single one of us. Let us be on guard against our thoughts and guard our words carefully, that we don't speak hatefully against other people without cause. And let's be quick to end quarrels and arguments quickly before they lead to, you know, greater sin in our life. And pray that God would help us to have a respect for human life, so that we ensure the protection and the preservation of all human beings in the human flourishing as we speak about it today. You know, these people from Planned Parenthood, I think that as American citizens, the time is now for us to call for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. The very least thing that we could do is defund it at this point. That's an easy one. We need to stop the wicked practice of abortion. Now the momentum is on our side as people see these videos. Let's rise up as the people of God and collectively call for the end of abortion in the United States of America. Enough with just limiting it. Enough with just taking away the funding of it. Let's see this scourge, this awful, hideous practice of murdering women in the womb. Let's see it come to an end. Not just women, but young boys in the womb as well, babies. But let's bring this thing to an end once and for all. Let the Church of Jesus Christ should be leading the charge on this issue, saying that enough is enough. We must bring this thing to an end. The Lord Jesus Christ put it clearly, thou shalt not murder. And we need to preach that message very strongly in our society today. Remember this, Jesus said, he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.